Koray. That's spelt K-O-R-A-Y. Anybody heard of Koray? No? Oh well. It's wonderful stuff, you know. So they say. But it doesn't seem anybody's heard of it. I was catching up on my reading, and Mike, who's in Thailand at the moment, he was clearing out at his home, or somebody's home, and he came up with some papers that he thought I'd be interested in. So I was reading this one from Thursday, June the 1st, 1944, and he thought I'd be interested to read it. Some of you might remember that, but contrary to public opinion, I don't. So, 1944, on the back page of this full advert for this thing called Koray. K-O-R-A-Y. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it. But Koray or Korai, I don't know what it is. It says, headache, neuralgia, toothache, nerve pains, muscle pains, one Koray, they're gone. For rapid relief from pain of all kinds, take Koray, because Koray kills pain quicker. Containing half as much again of the active ingredient, one Koray tablet is sufficient to bring peace and sweet relief. For a cold, flu or malaria, take Koray at bedtime with a hot drink. It must be with a hot drink. For muscle or nerve pains, there you go, Craig. Take one Koray as required. Never be without these marvellous little pink tablets. Get Koray today. Five tablets, threepence halfpenny. 10 tablets, sevenpence. Powders, 2.5p. Right, Koray kills pain quicker. There you go. If only it was that easy. So marvellous they were that nobody's ever heard of them. Right? Did they actually work, I asked myself? Was it just in 1944 they worked? So, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have something like that that could cure everything? But illnesses and diseases keep changing, and so that new medicines have to be developed. Nowadays we hear of MRSA in hospitals, and the norovirus sickness bug. People actually being told at the moment not to go to hospital, just in case they infect other people. People are being denied access to the place that's supposed to help them overcome this because the hospitals are afraid that this disease might spread. Perhaps the marvellous little pink tablets could have dealt with that if they'd still been around. If you're unwell, we're so used to just taking paracetamol, aren't we? Just take another tablet and you'll feel fine. Unfortunately, not all our problems can be dealt with by taking a little pink tablet. Last week's leader, more up to date than 1944, last week's leader, we don't get adverts for cures to illnesses anymore. What we get nowadays are things like this. Worried about your debts? One call to us could get sorts debts off your list once and for all. We believe that it's important that people experiencing debt problems are given professional advice that is tailored to their circumstances. So, worried about your debts? One call to them could help you sort out your debts once and for all. And one phone call will reduce your stress. You see adverts in newspapers and on the telly all the time. And how to sort out your debt problems, people queuing up to help you out of the goodness of their hearts. Maybe not. But it's becoming the norm in society to be in debt. I was listening to somebody, she was actually on the television the other day, and this was a woman who'd won £7 million on the lottery. And she was saying what a change it was to be able to pay off her credit card every month. She'd won all these millions, and the difference it had made to her life was that she could now pay off her credit card every month. She wasn't used to doing that until she won the lottery. She was always running up debt on her credit card. It's normal. I can't afford it, just put it on the credit card. Just add to the debt. In the news at the moment, we're hearing of the credit crunch, aren't we? Sounds like a new cereal, doesn't it? The credit crunch. Worldwide economic difficulties. We won't blame it all on the Americans, even though Matthew's not here. I'm sure every country has had a greedy hand in the pot. But people are worried about how they're going to pay the mortgage. Are they going to be able to keep their house? Don't worry. Never be without these marvellous little pink tablets. Only Thrums Hankley for five. If only. Wouldn't it be good if all our problems and worries could be sorted out this easy? Just an easy fix. Easy solution. Well, they're the problems and worries that we face day by day. But I want to talk about another kind of debt this evening. A debt that each one of us owed. A debt that has been paid. And the benefits that payment of that debt has brought for each of us. I'd like us to read a short passage from the Bible this evening, just three or four verses, and it's from the letter to Titus. Now that's quite near the back of the Bible, and it's on page 1199 in the blue church Bibles, 1199. It's just before Hebrews. Letter to Titus, page 1199. In the blue church Bibles, and we're reading from Titus chapter 3, chapter 3 and verse 3. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Wonderful verses. These verses speak of the Christian's experience, but it shows us the problem, the solution to that problem, and the results of the solution to the problem. We believe as Christians that God created everything that is, ever has been, and ever will be. Look at creation all around us, in all its beauty. I just can't believe that everything we see around us has come about just by chance, just by accident. God created us, men and women, and the Bible says he created man and woman in his own image, in the image of God. Read that in Genesis. We're told that we were created to be in a wonderful relationship with God, to love him and to enjoy his presence. That's why man was created. God wanted us to enjoy him and everything he's put on this earth. What a wonderful thing it would be, God and man living in harmony. So what went wrong? Well, the first verse of the passage we've just read talks of our being deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. There's a lot of evidence around us, isn't there, of people being enslaved to all kinds of passions and pleasures. They don't need God. They've replaced him with all kinds of passions and pleasures. They don't live in a relationship with their God. They live in a relationship with their passions and their pleasures, whether it's their hobby, whether it's socializing with others, whether it's the latest technologies, whatever. They live to indulge themselves in their passions and pleasures. In the same verse we read that people live in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Isn't it so sad? Very sad. Even a shameful reflection on our society, our civilized Western society, that each day, seems to me, another youngster seems to meet their end in a violent way. People being killed because they stand up to teenagers in the street. There's so much hatred around. Okay, you may say, I can see that around me, but that's not me. But the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When measured against perfection, perfection of God, we all fall short. That is me. That is all of us. If you look at yourself, I'm sure that we will recognize that there are times in your life when you do things that are wrong. a minister I listened to a lot as a teenager when I was growing up. He used to tell the story of a boy he knew called John, who thought his surname was Don't, because his mum and dad kept saying, John Don't, John Don't, John Don't. People say that you don't have to teach a child to do wrong, it comes naturally. And one of the first words they learn is no, defiance. We all have a tendency to do wrong things. The Apostle Paul said, what I want to do, I do not do. What I hate, I do. And I think that's so realistic, so true. There are times in all our lives that we do things that we know are wrong. Things that we know, perhaps, will harm us. We can't help it. God wants our best. He wants us to enjoy Him. He wants us to enjoy His presence and love. But we've all sinned. We've all neglected God in our lives. We've ignored Him. We've gone our own way. I get so frustrated at work sometimes. I'm a teacher, by the way, if you didn't know. You can tell by the grey hair. You wouldn't know I'm 23, would you? Anyway. I get so frustrated at times because I know the children aren't listening. They're not hearing what I'm saying to them. And they often get things wrong. And then they get frustrated because they can't do it. The same with us. We've not listened properly to God. We've ignored Him. We often get things wrong because we try and do things on our own without His help. We're not enjoying the relationship that God wants us to have with Him. God wants us to love Him, but our sin keeps us away from Him. That sin, our neglect of God's rightful position in our life as Creator, stops us from enjoying a relationship with Him. So the debt each one of us owed was for our sin. All have sinned. Now, other religions rely upon man's ability to work their way back to God. Eventually, if we're good enough, once we've heaped up enough good things in our life, if we've gone through enough suffering, when we can concentrate our minds fully on the higher being, then we'll be good enough to get into heaven and we'll be welcomed with open arms. Christianity is not like that. Christianity doesn't rely upon what man can do, but on what God has done. How can we, imperfect, neglectful, sinful people that we are, how can we ever think that we can make ourselves good enough to satisfy God, who is totally pure, totally perfect, totally just? How can we? Any efforts we make are never going to be good enough. We're bound to fail. We sang and read earlier, you came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. God sent His Son Jesus to earth, eventually to the cross, to pay the debt we owed. He paid the debt for us. We also sang earlier of God's wonderful grace that gives what I don't deserve, pays me what Christ has earned. We've neglected God, yet He, God, was willing for His Son to pay the price for our neglect so that we can have a relationship with Him. In the passage you read, verse 4 says, but when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. Out of God's kindness, love and mercy, He saved us. Jesus did it all. There's nothing we can or even have to do to contribute to our salvation. All we can and have to do is be amazed at God's wonderful love, to recognize that we can only enjoy a relationship with God because of what He has done. We can never earn our own way to heaven. We need to acknowledge that we have neglected God in our lives, ask for His forgiveness, and just accept the wonderful life and relationship He wants us to share. That's brilliant news, isn't it? What a wonderful mystery. I guess all the way through our lives we wonder what the next stage in our lives is going to bring. We don't know until we go through them. They're a mystery until we experience them. What will it be like to have work? What will it like to be married? What will it like to be a parent? What will it be like to be retired? These are all mysteries to us until we go through them. But there's no greater mystery than God's relationship with man. But praise and thanks to God, we can experience it because of what Jesus has done. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to heal the sick. He came to rescue the dying. He came to give life in all its fullness. Jesus has paid our debt. He is the solution to our greatest problem. Because Jesus died, we can now live the life we were created to live. Jesus saved us. So a debt each one of us owed, a debt that has been paid. What about the benefits that payment of that debt has brought for each of us? Look again at Titus 3, verse 7, where we read, "So that having been justified by grace," that means God himself provided the way back to take away the debt we owed so that we could enjoy this relationship with him, "having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." I've got two brothers and sisters. No, I haven't. I've got two brothers and a sister. And my dad worked hard to keep us when we were young. But my parents never had a lot of money. Most of it went on us children as we were growing up. Now, obviously, the children have all left home. And my dad's retired, of course. And in the last few years, my parents seem to have had a new lease of life. They've visited America and Canada a few times and have been to Austria numerous times, as well as other places around Europe. Good on them. They deserve it. They've worked hard during their life. Now it's time for them to enjoy it. But every time they book up another holiday, my younger brother says, "That's all very well, but that's my inheritance you're paying for that." Only jokingly, of course. We like that in Yorkshire. Anyway, there's that verse in John's Gospel which says, "To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That just blows my mind. Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God and recognize that his death and resurrection have paid for their sins, become children of God. What a thought. Amazing. It never ceases to amaze me. After 30 years of being a Christian, whenever I hear that, whenever I think about that, it's amazing that the creator of everything that is, the all-powerful God, he has made me his child. Just can't take it in. Ten or so years ago now, me and Wendy, or should I say, Wendy and I, I forgot where I was for a moment then. Wendy and I fostered some children for a while, one or two at a time, and it really opened our eyes. Children were brought to us so that they could be given a place of safety for a while. They often came only with the clothes that they were standing in, and they were usually very dirty, always unhappy. We only cared for each one for a short time. They'd all gone through distressing situations. Each had probably seen and done things that we wouldn't even dream of. They had had difficult childhoods, to say the least. One mealtime, Wendy had baked a chocolate sponge cake. You should have seen this boy's eyes, wide as wide could be. "What's this? Chocolate sponge cake? For me?" And he did say it like that. You should have seen the smile on his face. He'd never had homemade chocolate sponge cake before. This boy had been through a lot. He'd been brought to our house. We gave him some clean clothes. And on top of that, he got to eat Wendy's homemade chocolate sponge cake. For a time, his life was totally changed. This is only a very poor illustration, but think about it. Till we become Christians, we're living lives where we've missed out on the whole purpose of our life. God has given us a way to come back to him. He takes us into his family. He makes us his sons and daughters. He doesn't only foster us for a short time. He adopts us into his family. And God has more glorious things for his family than chocolate sponge cake. As delicious as my wife's chocolate sponge cake is, He has made us heirs. Paul's letter to the Romans tells us that if we are God's children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If we believe in Jesus as our Saviour, then we become God's children. But even more than that, if I am a child of God, I am in His worldwide family, I am an heir to all that He has to give. One verse tells us, in God's great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. It's as if we're born again, we start a new life with a new perspective, because we know our inheritance is with God in heaven, and this inheritance can never spoil or fade. What is this inheritance? It's good that no matter what stage we're at, whether we're still searching for the truth, or whether we've just started out on the Christian path, or whether we've been walking with Jesus for some time, it's good that we remind ourselves of these things for our encouragement and blessing. Our inheritance starts the moment we come to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. The Apostle Paul writes, "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." All the riches and treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus. Coming to know Him allows us to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It sets us free to know God, our Creator, the God of eternity, the God of power, the God who is love, the God who is King over all. We can know God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus, we have security and assurance. Some people are so obsessed with insurance, aren't they? They have life insurance, car insurance, pet insurance, this insurance, that insurance. But read the small print. You may not be insured. Insured against floods? Maybe not. But with God, you are totally secure. He sent His Son to die for us, so that we need not perish, but will enjoy eternal life. Jesus died for us. He's not going to let anything stop His children from reaching and enjoying that eternal life. How can He? That would mean that we could veto what the all-powerful God has done. That can never happen. Those who believe in Jesus as Lord and Saviour become God's children forever and into eternity. We can never be enslaved to our old human natures again. He has saved us for eternity. This is the Christian's inheritance: to know the love of God now in this life, to know His presence with us, to know that nothing can separate us from His love. This also means that nothing will separate us from God in eternity. Even death has lost its power, because the Christian's inheritance can never perish, nor spoil, nor fade. It's kept for us in heaven. The Christian's glorious inheritance is heaven. Eternity spent with our loving God. What could be more wonderful? It just remains for me to ask you whereabouts on this road you are. If you're searching, I would urge you to keep on searching, because Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you shall find." Please do carry on searching for the truth, because if you are serious about finding the truth, you will find it. If you've just started out on the Christian path, you will find that as time goes on, you'll experience more and more of the riches and treasures that are hidden in Jesus. Even if you've been walking with our Lord Jesus for some time now, you can never come to an end of all the goodness and love of Him who died for you. God's ways are not our ways. Be amazed constantly at His goodness as you come ever closer to that day when you will meet Him face to face. My prayer for us all this evening, and I'll finish with this, is the prayer that Paul wrote in his letter to the church in Ephesus. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you have provided a way that we can be one with you. We thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That even though we were lost, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Although we neglected you, Jesus came to find us and bring us to yourself. Through his death and resurrection, he has made a way possible for us to be one with you once more. Father, we thank you for the wonder of it. We thank you that we can now become children of God. How amazing that is, that the Almighty Creator God wants us to be your children. Father, we just pray that you would continue to speak to us, each one, that you would show us the truth and the reality of the things that we've been thinking about this evening. Father, bless us each one as we seek. Bless us each one as we serve. Father, we thank you that we can know your Spirit speaking to us day by day, not only on a Sunday, not only in church, but each and every day. And we pray that we might know you speaking to us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.